Our identity is not American. We are not called to be American Christians. We are called to be Christians who happen to be living in America. There have been huge disappointments of how the church has approached this last year. We are not a lobby group. We are not a voting bloc. We are the people of God.
Here in Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, we get a glimpse of people who are outside of the grace of God in Christ and how they live and what kind of influence they really are. And then Paul contrasts that in the next couple of verses after. Heavenly-minded influencers. That's what today's program is all about. Welcome. This is Growing in Grace with Pastor Steve Ballantyne, our pastor here at San Gabriel Community Church. Join us, won't you, as we see what it means to be heavenly-minded and influence others with that heavenly-mindedness. Here's Pastor Steve in today's program.
Notice the contrast in verse 20, but unlike these people, let me describe to you the person that follows after Christ and how different they are. And it's a striking contrast that he presents. And we need to be looking for something different in the people that we follow, people that look like this, not like verses 18 and 19. He says, first of all, we belong to heaven. Verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven. Let me tell you something really cool here in the language. This is in the present tense. He doesn't say one day your citizenship will be in heaven. Like right now, you're a citizen in America, but one day you'll be a citizen in heaven. That's not what he says. You are present tense right now, today. If you are in Christ, you are a citizen of heaven. You're living a life in the here and now as a citizen of another place. I do not think I could overemphasize the help it will be to your walk to understand and to live out this reality that this is not your home. Believer, hear that. This is not your home. It's hard to think of something that will grant you more hope and more peace and more resolve and more focus and more comfort in the midst of troubling, in the midst of trials, in the midst of difficulties, than remembering this, is not your home. Philippi understood citizenship. It was a huge deal in Roman culture. And Philippi, as we covered in the introduction of the book, it was a miniature Rome. And you could go to Philippi and you felt like you were in Rome. You got a taste of Rome. Their building, their architecture, their political structure, their language, everything they did said, we are Roman. We belong to Rome. Paul says, when people spend time with you, Church of Philippi, I don't want them to feel like they've been with a bunch of citizens of Rome. I want them to feel like and know they've been in the presence of citizens of heaven. I want and pray that for our church. I don't want people to visit our church and ever say to themselves, it sure was nice to get a glimpse of America. I want them to visit our church and say, it sure was nice to get a glimpse of heaven. I want people to come and, don't you want this, to see a group of people that's caring for one another and loving one another, encouraging one another, showing no partiality in our discussions with one another, showing no racism or favoritism towards one another, people who walk in justice and love mercy and walk humbly with their God, a people absent of grumbling and complaining, a people that live in such a way that when people see us, they're like, you're not from around here, are you? You ever been to a place where you clearly don't belong? You go to a foreign country and you don't know the language, so you stand out all the more. You're asking questions that tourists ask you, and you're standing on a street corner, you're not sure where you are, and someone comes along, you're not from here, are you? Are we living believers in such a way that when the world sees us, they see us interact with one another, they see us live out our lives, when they see us with our family, with our friends, their response is, wait, you're not from here, are you? There's something different about you. You seem to belong to a different place. The church isn't a club. It's a gathering of people from another country. We are from that other perfect country. That's where our citizenship is. And we come together on Sunday mornings to remind ourselves of that. Look, we can't go home yet, but we live in a world that's hurting. We live in a world that needs the message of this other country, this other place. They need the hope of it. So be encouraged, because I know it's hard out there, and I know there's suffering, and I know there's difficulty, but we're going to sing the praises of God together. We're going to gather as a people of God. We're going to study the Word of God. And now we go into this world that is not our home, and we point people to a better place. We encourage one another to press on in the pilgrimage that we've been called to live. Now, there's no call in this text. Hear this. He's not calling them to be anti-Roman. And I'm not calling you to be anti-American. That would miss the point. Paul was happy to claim his Roman citizenship and use it to his advantage in the spread of the gospel. But he adhered to it and he called on it only to the degree that it served the greater purpose of the place where he truly belonged, the gospel of Christ and the glory of God. It was not much over a year ago, before the world changed around us, that I remember telling you what I tell you every 4 years or so as we enter into election cycle, that we need to be reminded of the truth that our hope is not in an election. And our hope is not in a candidate. Our hope is not in a system of government. Our hope is not in a political outcome or a judicial decision. Our hope is in Christ. Our hope is in heaven. Our identity is not American. We are not called to be American Christians. We are called to be Christians who happen to be living in America. There have been huge disappointments of how the church has approached this last year. We are not a lobby group. We are not a voting bloc. We are the people of God. Does that mean we have no regard for the present world? Of course not. We've been called to live here. We've been called as citizens of that other nation to go and tell people there's a better place. It doesn't have to be like this. It won't be like this. In the end, it's going to be restored. There'll be a new creation, a new heaven, and a new earth. And you can be part of it if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. C.S. Lewis said in Mere Christianity, he said, if you read history, you'll find that the Christians who did the most for the present world were just those who thought most of the next. That old phrase, right? He was so heavenly minded, he was of no earthly good. There couldn't be anything farther from the truth. The people that make the greatest difference in the here and now are the people that are most focused on the next world. He says it is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this. We don't have the time, but let me tell you, that phrase summarizes the last 50 years of the church. Thinking that our influence is going to come through politics, our influence is going to come through political systems and reform instead of through the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's our citizenship. He goes on, our citizenship is in heaven. So much more we could say of this heaven, but look what else he says. He says, and from it, from heaven, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our preeminent hope. The hope of heaven is the hope of Jesus. This is why we long for heaven, because we want to be where Jesus is. And he's going to come back from heaven, and he's going to take us with him. All the beauty of heaven, all the descriptors of heaven, the glory of heaven, that's good, and we will enjoy that. In fact, we'll enjoy it more than we've ever enjoyed any beauty in all of our existence. Our eyes will not be tainted by sin, and we'll see beauty on a whole nother level. We'll see colors that we could not imagine, and the glory of heaven, it'll be beautiful. We'll be reunited with believers from all of history, reunited with loved ones. But the main draw of heaven is that's where Jesus is. He is the hope of heaven. And that's what we're waiting for. And he says, the attitude of the believer that I want to follow after is the one who is on tiptoes, expecting eagerly the return of Jesus Christ, instead of being so captured by this world as these others are. and then we will be transformed, he says. This is what Jesus will do. He will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body. Can I get an amen to that? We will have glorified bodies like Jesus. He will give us bodies that no longer experience pain. Can you? The day will come, you know, if you're still young, the day will come when you don't believe this now. But the day will come where waking up hurts after a night of sleeping where it hurts. Not in heaven. Not in our new bodies. There'll be no pain. There'll be no aches. There'll be no bruises. There'll be no sickness. There'll be no cancer. There'll be no COVID. There'll be no dying. And don't miss this. They're bodies. I love this. See, we often think of heaven as this kind of ethereal, spiritual existence. We will have bodies, glorified bodies like Jesus, post-resurrection bodies like Jesus. And so we just get this glimpse, and there's so much about heaven we don't know, but we do know it's a life that is lived. We do know that we'll have bodies, and so our existence is not just spiritual, it's physical. Now, I've said this many times, I think heaven is going to be much more like life here than we can imagine, and more different than life here, than we can imagine. We'll be transformed. 1 Corinthians 15, just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we will also bear the image of the man of heaven. Beloved, 1 John 3, verse 2, beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we will see him as he is, and everyone who thus hopes... Hear this. This is the heart of Paul here. I have the hope of heaven. I have the hope of perfection. So sit back and cruise. No, Paul says, press on. What does John say? Everyone who has this hope thus purifies himself, just as he is pure. This hope should motivate us. It should assure us. It should purify us. It should help us to focus on what's most important. We have the most encouraging news in all the world. This is as bad as it will ever be, and one day it will be made perfect. And how will he do this? Look what he says, verse 21. He will do this transforming of our bodies into his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. By what power will Christ do this? By the power that he subjects all things to himself. Notice the scope of that power. It is over all things. The duration of that power, we are talking about eternity. Can't remember who it was. It was a local pastor one time on the radio said, we're talking about powerful, powerful power. Unmatched power. This is the power that spoke light into darkness. This is the power that with a word spoke the universe into existence. This is the power that parted the Red Sea and defeated the world's most powerful army. This is the power that dropped food from heaven and drew water from a rock in the desert. This is the power that knocked down the walls of Jericho. This is the power that protected Daniel in the lion's den and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. This is the power that healed the blind man. This is the power that cast out demons. This is the power that raised the dead and healed the sick. This is the power that raised Lazarus from the dead. This is the power that raised Jesus from the dead. And this is the power he has just said has saved you and is at work in you and will one day perfect you, transform you. All that power Jesus directs to you. Isn't that amazing? And so we see this contrast. There's two kinds of people. There's these people vying for your influence, and there's the people I'm calling you to be influenced by. They are enemies of the cross, and their destiny is destruction. But our joy is in the cross, and our destiny is deliverance. They're devoted to the indulging of the flesh and the body. They go after their appetites as gods. We look forward to the transformation of our body by God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Their citizenship is this world. Our citizenship is in another world. They set their sights low and they focus on earthly things. We set our things on things above, things that are high, things that are lofty, the things of heaven. Therefore, he says, my beloved brethren, those who are so dear to me, my children, my beloved, thus stand firm. That's his admonition in verse 4. Those whom I love and I long for, my joy and my crown, my beloved, stand firm thusly in the Lord. This is how you stand firm in the Lord. In the midst of all the voices, you focus on the voices that are pointing you to Christ, and you press on toward Christ. And you ignore the cacophony of voices around you that are trying to influence you away from the cross. Stand firm like this in the midst of this world. You follow the right examples and you focus on your true citizenship. Follow godly examples. Be godly examples. We are a people called to live in community with one another. We have been created to live in relationship with one another. All the metaphors of the church, right? All those pictures. We are a body, and each of us is part. We're intended to live together and to encourage one another. We're not called to live in isolation. We're called to encourage, to help, to influence one another. Do you have godly examples in your life? Who are those? Someone, many people, are influencing you. Who are they? And where are they pointing you? I reflected this week. I encourage you to do the same, just to write out some of those people that have influenced in you toward the cross of Christ instead of away from the cross of Christ. It starts for me with my parents and other family members and my in-laws. I think of coaches and teachers, Rich Bartell and Trevor Cragen, men you'll never know of, who took time and pointed me towards Jesus. Doug Bookman, Irv Buzenitz, Milton Vincent, friends that have come alongside, these men who just lived a different kind of life. And I looked at them and said, I want that. And what was distinct about them is they were headed toward Jesus. Evaluate your influencers this week. And the measure of a good influencer is, are they pointing you toward the cross? Evaluate your own influence this week. As you look back at the steps that you're making in the snow across the ice, are those steps headed toward the cross? Are those steps headed toward Jesus? Are they headed toward heaven? Are they focused on heavenly things? Can you invite others to say, so like, step in my steps, or avoid those steps? Because I realize that doesn't take me to Jesus, but follow these steps. Follow me as I follow Christ. Does your own influence point people to the cross, to Christ, to kingdom priorities? Find and follow people who are living for heaven, who are living in expectation of the return of Christ. The only influence that matters is influence for the kingdom. And I mean this. I want you to hear this well. I think in the broader context, those that know me, you'll understand this. When we're called to be citizens, I'm not suggesting that we despise the country that we live in. That's not the point. It doesn't mean that we don't praise God for much of what he has provided to us in this country. But all of it has to be about the kingdom. The problem in this country is not the radicals on the right or the nut jobs on the left. The problem in this country is not wokeness. The problem in this country is not cancel culture. The problem in this country is not social Marxism. The problem is not political, and the solution is not political. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers. We wrestle against the rulers of the darkness of this world. We wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places, and we must put on the armor of God. The problem in this world is sin, and the solution is the gospel. And the only way the church will impact the culture around us is to preach that gospel and live that gospel. All change, all positive change, social change, political change, marriages, families, all of that is dependent on the way we live out the gospel. That's what changes hearts and lives. That we point people and tell people there's another place and it's perfect and you can go there. Let me tell you about it. And in the meanwhile, I'm going to do my best to live out the values of that country, the values of that place in the place that God has called me. And friends, in this, stand firm. Stand firm. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. As is my prayer, Lord, every week, you know, I long for your church to hear your words and not mine. And so to the degree that I've said anything today that is of me and not of you, I pray that you would purge that from the hearts of your people and impress upon them the truth of your word, your perfect, infallible word. Father, we rightly want to see improvements in the world around us. We rightly want to see less sin. We rightly want to see a system that would uphold life and good. We rightly want to see the restoration of marriage and family. We rightly want to see justice. We rightly want to see change around us that glorifies evil instead of good. We want to see those change, but Father, guard us against believing that the answer is to meet the enemy on their turf and to fight with anything other than the armor that you have given us. Lord, I pray. I thank you. I thank you first. I thank you for the many examples. Lord, I wouldn't want to miss any to name them by name. The many examples of the men, the women in this church that point me to your son, Jesus. The countless conversations that I've had with people facing death and facing sickness that have bolstered my faith when I've tried to encourage them, that have reminded me that there is power in weakness, that have reminded me it's not about this world. Thank you for so many examples. Father, may we follow those kinds of people and may we be those kinds of people. As elders, as pastors, as a staff, a church staff, as church members, as those who attend, who know Jesus, to be people that are pointing others to the cross of Christ. Help us, Father, to live out the citizenship that we have in heaven in this place, and for people, when they encounter us, to say their hope is in something else, in someone else. Lord, we long for that day when your Son will return, and we will be transformed, these lowly bodies, into glorious bodies, because we'll be made into the likeness of his Son, where we will live and reign with him forever. We long for that day. Grant us the hope of glory, the hope of heaven, the hope of Jesus in the midst of this very week that's in front of us, Father. We pray this in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And you're listening to Growing in Grace with Pastor Steve Ballantyne from San Gabriel Community Church. If you have questions or comments about the broadcast, maybe you have a prayer request, please reach out to us. We'd love to help out any way that we can. You can reach out to us at 626-656-1000. That's our phone number. Again, 626-656-1000. Or stop by our website and drop us an email, sangabrielcommunity.org. If you're looking to join us for worship here on Sundays, we meet at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10:45, and directions and information, again, can be found at sangabrielcommunity.org or by simply calling 626-656-1000. By the way, as you stop by our website, you'll find an archive of past sermons available to listen to, information about us, who we are, what we believe, and why. Pastor Steve's blog is available from our website as well, and information about San Gabriel Christian School. Please stop by sangabrielcommunity.org or call 626-656-1000. Please remember, as you contact us, this is a listener-supported ministry. As you link arms with us prayerfully and financially, we are able to continue the ministry here in the greater Los Angeles area. Please consider that as you contact us, won't you? Oh, and by the way, if you plan on joining us for worship here at the church, would you let one of the ushers know that you were invited by the radio broadcast? That would mean a great deal to us. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. We look forward to seeing you next week at this same time for another broadcast of Growing in Grace with Pastor Steve Ballantyne. Growing in Grace is the ministry of San Gabriel Community Church.